So generally, people think they know where students live. You know, people are like, oh, they live in the South U area, or they live in Carytown, or they live wherever else. But the thing is that no one really knows where students is. You know, whether it's the university itself, whether it's the Ann Arbor city government, people just have, you know, ideas. They don't really know. And so that was the first question that we asked ourselves. And the second question that we wanted to know was that we realized that many Ann Arbor and the many University of Michigan students don't participate very much in local government. I mean, of course, maybe many Ann Arbor residents don't participate either, but, you know, it is pretty well known that, you know, students don't come to city council meetings. You know, there's the central student government at the university hasn't been meeting with the city council for 4 or 5 years, even though they had a commission set up just to meet with them.
So we wanted to see what people here thought. So where do you think students live? Throw out some areas.
The dorms.
That is true. We found that was true. Anywhere else? Student neighborhoods.
All over.
Co-ops.
Landmark, co-ops. Zaragon.
Ipsy.
Y'all know some high-end students here. Zaragon, Landmark, okay. All right, so. So, there we go. So, basically, we wanted to overlay what we found. We'll explain how we got to this in a bit. But every red dot, the darker ones are higher concentrations of students, and the lighter ones are potentially one student. So, you see, this is Central Campus. We've got a lot of students, unsurprisingly so. A lot of students live in that area. That's what people expect. And so, keep going through. You've got North Campus. It looks pretty sparse, but every one of those dots is usually a couple hundred people. So, that's a lot of students packed into Bursley, Bates, Northwood Apartments, and then you've got the Courtyards up there. Carytown, another heavily student-populated area. So west of campus is actually not as heavily students as people thought, so not a huge concentration. South of campus is crawling with students. It's a lot of people. So we said beyond South U, but really there are a lot of people around South U. And east of campus, just a little east of that, Geddes, Packard, you've got a lot of people. But what we wanted to express is that that's not all. You look all over Ann Arbor, and there's students everywhere. It's not just grad students, but undergrads are living all over the city. It's not just a Central Campus or North Campus student presence. It's all over Ann Arbor in a lot of different places, because that's probably about 70-80% of the students are the ones we just showed, but outside of those areas are a lot of students. So that's something we really wanted to get across. So basically off of that, their concentrations wasn't too surprising, but there's really students all over the city, and this doesn't include commuters, this doesn't include students who live in Ipsy, so it's a lot more interesting than people initially thought. So how did we find this?
And so basically the first thing that we did is we started looking at zoning. I mean, you know, the Ann Arbor city has certain zoning ways of setting up. So I go, this building is kind of for students, or this is dorms. But when we started looking at the data, did a deeper dive, we realized that really it wasn't the most accurate. It was really quite broad. And as we'll show later, the zoning really does not reflect very well where students actually live. Some other things that we ended up using is we looked at the voter registration data. And so essentially, almost all of our analysis is based off voter registration data. For those of you who vote, which is hopefully all of you, you realize that where you live, your birth date, your name are all public data, and that anyone could request them. So what we ended up doing is we basically matched the public voter registration data to the public student directory.
So the first attempt, we talked about zoning. We didn't end up using zoning to find that because it didn't really pinpoint people. So we basically, R2A and R4C are typically regarded as the student zoning multifamily housing. And basically, it seemed like a good approximation at first, but after what we found kind of after that, it showed that this wasn't as good of an estimate. And it's being used by city council to really talk about where students are. But we showed here, the west side I mentioned earlier, west of the city, is zoned heavily it's not very clear, but basically it's zoned very heavily so that it would be students in kind of, if you use just those designations, but there actually aren't that many students there. So there's a whole area of Ann Arbor that people are talking about in a lot of ways as the student housing, student area, where most of the people who live there don't seem to be students. And so we kind of, in order to make it a little more specific than that, because we felt like that just didn't work out, we needed addresses. So we had tried to attempt a Freedom of Information Act request with the state, heard back a couple weeks later that didn't work out. And so we went to the Washtenaw County Clerk, which was fantastic, by the way. They got back to us within a day. All the information was free, as public record should be. And basically it includes, like Austin was saying, name, the year of registration, birth year, address, and whether you voted in the last election. So that's public information. Not who you voted for, but whether you voted is public information. So we use a little bit of Python scripting for that, so that is completely illegible. So just so you know, we did write something for it. Basically, we search for exact name matches, because the U of M student directory doesn't just have, like for my name, Patrick Sire. It has Patrick J. Sire, Patrick John Sire. So you could find an exact match to one of those, and we figured that's probably a student. So it's not a perfect approximation, but we figured there aren't that many people with the same name, including middle name or middle initial.
Why Python?
Because I took an intro programming class, that's all I know how to do. Just being honest. We use a little open source geographic information system, so basically a mapping software, which is also the result of a class I took, so I'm showing my hand here. Just kind of join it back to that list. So if there are any duplicates, it would only go, it would only show up once. So say somebody showed up three times, there's three Chris Smiths. It'll only go to one of them if there's only one in the public voter registration list. And then kind of geocode it, so basically turn all those addresses into latitude, longitude points. And so,
And so the way it works is that in Ann Arbor, the city is divided into wards. And basically there's two city council members who are voted in each ward. Just like there are representatives that determine how we're represented in Congress, wards determine how you are represented in the Ann Arbor City Council. There are five wards, two council members per ward, that results in our wonderful city council of 10. And generally, wards is the system that's used in larger cities. A few years back, Detroit switched back to the ward system.
Basically, these ward divisions have been part of Ann Arbor history very early on. They were typically written, so this resulted in an early trip to the Bentley Historical Library, writing out every little street. So from South University to Hill Street to this to that, it was written out, which is really cumbersome if you're going to run a government. So basically, it was written on the charter, so basically the city constitution. And basically, after they realized that this really wasn't going to be that flexible, in 1967, there was an election for a charter change that said instead of basically having it mandated in the charter exactly what the wards were, it just had to be generally pie-shaped. Is the exact word, that's the exact wording they use, pie-shaped. And could be changed by the city council. So as long as it was in that pie-shaped shape. So
pie-specific.
What kind of pie does this look like?
A drop pie.
A drop pie. It doesn't look particularly delicious, I'll be honest. That was a very good. I like that. So if you want to pull it up, we've got the map online, bit.ly/TMDwards. Austin pulled that up right beforehand. So what we wanted to get across is that for wards and students, we've kind of overlaid them both on top of each other. And right here is West Quad, so a lot of students there. Right there is South Quad. There are students on that line. They can walk across the street to the dining hall, and they will be in a different city ward. So, all right, there, and just basically another area where it shows a lot of students very concentrated on student areas. It splits right through where there's a huge concentration. So
as you can see, this is kind of the percentage of students that we found in each ward. And the highest one is about 30%. And so that's a pretty good indication that all of Ann Arbor students, University of Michigan students, are being divided. You know, some wards are 14% or even 10%, but you know, the highest is only 30%. And so as we're going to show in a little bit, it's actually really easy to make a student supermajority ward. When you think of how many students actually live here, you think of it as about 43,000. But in reality, not all of them could vote. There is a large number, 9,000 international students, and they can't vote. There's actually 750 in September of students who are under the age of 18. And so they can't vote either. And so for this analysis, we think there's about 34,000 people, 34,000 students who are eligible to vote in Ann Arbor elections. But of course, many of them aren't registered here because they're registered maybe at home or maybe they're not even registered at all. And even in Michigan, there's a rule that you can't vote absentee on your first time voting. And that's just another example of making it hard to vote as a student.
So of those 7,000, the upsetting part was that 1,900 voted in the most recent mayoral election. This isn't the summer primary where a lot of students aren't here. This is when students are here. So that's a lower rate than overall city turnout. Not by much, though, but it is slightly lower than the overall city turnout. And so we were kind of wondering, is this a lack of representation? Are people frustrated that they're not represented? Or is it just a lack of interest? People just don't care. So we kind of want to talk as well about why it matters. So, I mean, if nobody's voting, then they're just going to be frustrated about what's going on and not seek any remedy, and there's no engagement between people who live in Ann Arbor and aren't students and people who are students. And so while students are a transient population, as we mentioned, they're a large chunk of it. That's 43,000 people, students overall, are in Ann Arbor, a city of 117,000. And the wards in general do favor the downtown. That pie shape is not exactly an accident, and so every single ward has a little bit of the downtown and represents some of the downtown interests. So student supermajority ward is definitely more of a thought experiment. It's kind of hard to do, given that you've got Central and North Campus, and it'd require a charter change because that's probably not going to be pie-shaped in whatever form that may take. And a lot of students don't care or really support the idea. So this is basically, on the left, we have the current ward that we showed. And after playing around with it and definitely gerrymandering to a significant extent, I'm a little proud of that. So as opposed to a pie, what does the student ward look like now?
American pie.
American pie? Is that going to have to be cut from the video? So that was kind of our thought experiment, and also to consider as a downtown ward that's not necessarily student-focused, but really just separates the downtown from the rest of Ann Arbor in its own kind of concerted space. So in all these, we've tested are approximately in the range of the population needed to sustain a ward. So it's all these maps are possible, just things we kind of wanted to consider, kind of get people thinking about civics in Ann Arbor.
And so this actually recently happened at Berkeley, is that they basically had a 4-year effort there to create a student supermajority ward. And the most interesting thing for me was that the organizers of that effort said it wasn't the ward itself, but it was just the idea of having city council members meeting with student government members. Is that basically they were having meetings every month or every week, and they got the entire campus to kind of care about ward districts and ward boundaries. And that is like, that's to me is really interesting, because think about it, who really spends their time thinking about what ward you're in? Like, no one does that. I mean, I guess me and Pat do that, but that's it. And so it really is about the idea of trying to have students play a larger role in local government, and whether it's attending city council members or whether it's being on student commissions. Great, so I guess is that it then? Thank you very much.